Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Welcome back to the Predictable Revenue Podcast. I'm your host, Colin Stewart. Today, I'm joined by somebody who's got a bit of an interesting journey. We're going to talk about how they started out, how Sumo started out with inbound, tried outbound, it didn't work. Figured out what was working, what wasn't working, decided to give it another try. And now it's driving a ton of growth. I'd like to welcome Anton Sepetov to the podcast. Thanks for joining us today, Anton.
Thanks a ton for having me. I'm truly actually very happy to be here.
Hey, me too. I'm glad to have you. So
awesome.
You know, I always tend to think of Sumo as an inbound company, right? So just to give us a little taste of what we're going to dive into later in the episode, can you talk about percentage of revenue split or give us some indication of how successful outbound has been there?
For sure. So we started off, you know, and we always have been known as the inbound company. Our blog has always been a huge driver for us, all of our content. We have a ton of writers that work on that. And that's always been what we've been known for. And that's how we started an inbound sales model. Fast forward to now, you know, 2 years later, since we started a sales team, is we are 100% focused on outbound. We have maybe not 100%, 90%. And we have some inbound that comes in, but largely focused on outbound. We've made it work.
Right on. Can you hint at like what the revenue split between inbound and outbound might be? Or at least in terms of net new business?
Absolutely. So right now it's around 80 to 90% on the outbound side and then 10 to 20% from inbound customers coming in. So before it was 100% inbound. So it's like basically the tides have completely switched.
Totally flipped. It's funny. Another company, we had Mike Stankus from Acquia on here. They were like coaching client of ours years and years and years ago before Aaron and I worked together. And Mike was saying they had the same journey where they kicked off because they're basically the Drupal company. And they started 100% inbound. And now over 90% of their business comes from outbound. And their inbound channels had just dried up.
Exactly. And for us, it's not that I hate inbound or anything like that. And I think it's bad. It's just that, you know, that's just how things change for us. And, you know, it's made it more profitable for us and something that's more scalable and repeatable, which is a lot of what, you know, you and Aaron talk about.
Right on. So before we dive in, and we're going to talk about, you know, some of the history, some of the things that didn't work, what you're doing now.
Yeah.
Why don't we start with, you know, can you give us a little backstory? You guys started with inbound, you know, when did the sales team start over at Sumo?
Yeah. So we started a little bit over 2 years ago. And so initially with the company, we had been, Noah and I had just been selling to random people. We were like, okay, one, we got some traction with the amount of people that were using Sumo Me back then, Sumo Now. And we had, you know, big sites using us. But we were like, hey, how can we actually make a business out of this? And so him and I, you know, said, how can we start charging for this? And we're approaching different people. We tried a bunch of different things and a bunch of things didn't work. So one of the things that we tried is we were like, okay, you know, part of Sumo is we have share buttons that you can put on your site. And we said, why don't we sell that to media companies? And so we approached them and actually closed some of those customers. But we didn't see a ton of traction and they also didn't see a ton of value out of it. And so then we said, okay, well, let's do something a little bit differently. We have all these people that are signing up for Sumo every single day. There were thousands of sites. Why don't we, you know, look at those sites and say, hey, which are the ones that we can maybe that are, you know, more sustainable businesses, medium to larger size that we can talk to and hold their hands and get them set up with Sumo. And so literally we just downloaded like a CSV of all of these people signing up on a day-to-day basis. And we hired our first sales hire Bar, and him and I would sit down and we'd like look through all these sites and we say, okay, these are the ones we want to talk to. Let's get them on the phone. Let's figure out, you know, how we can sell to them. And so that then evolved into a process with SDRs and AEs on the inbound side of qualifying all these different sites coming in inbound, determining which ones we should get on the call with, and then, you know, upselling them on Sumo. So that's how we started, and there definitely saw some success there, right? Because we were able to bring in the more inbound revenue than these sites were just sitting there and not actually upgrading to a paid plan.
Gotcha. Because you're sort of this like freemium slash like PQL model where people can use the product and try it out and even buy certain packages directly on the site.
Exactly right.
Gotcha. And so what you were selling was more of a larger package geared towards higher, like larger businesses, basically.
Yeah, a bit. And so there's a lot of trial and error there as well, right? Where we would just get on calls and we would just someone just name prices and just say, okay, it's going to be $2,000. And then they're on the site and they're like, what do you mean? It's telling me it only costs $200 a month. And we're like, well, because I'm on the phone with you. And so obviously there's a lot of trial and error there figuring out, okay, we should, you know, change our pricing and have, and that's something that you know, we're still, I'm happy to talk about it later. Still, you know, struggling with a bit now of how do we balance those two models of the, you know, people that can just go and sign up and buy on their own versus, you know, having to talk to someone on the sales team.
100%. It's a really tough area to try and figure out. Where do you put the pricing, you know, gates, if you want to call them that?
Exactly.
You know, where do we bucket the different features and what's the trigger for bumping somebody up to the next one? Especially, sure. It's especially hard when you have an existing user base as large as Sumo does.
Yeah, exactly. We have like hundreds of thousands of sites using Sumo. So it's, you know, we don't want to just say, hey, you have to talk to someone on sales. Because then, you know, potentially we're very much hurting our growth.
Mm-hmm. You'd never be able to get one of those magical sandwiches again that you're paying for. So we don't need to talk about sandwiches, but can you talk to me about what your inbound funnel looks like?
Yeah, for sure. So on the inbound side, you know, now it's still quite similar, but we made the decision of, you know, let's have marketing take that on and make sure that they are the ones that are, you know, taking a lead, turning it into like an MQL, marketing qualified lead, and pushing them through the funnel, right? And at a certain point, yeah, they will say, hey, that we actually determined that this is an SQL, sales qualified lead. You guys should talk to them. But a lot of it is more on, you know, how can they work with, like, just as you mentioned, you know, having gates in the product with, hey, you want to use this feature, you should upgrade now, right? And having it more self-serve because, you know, Sumo, we specialize and we work with small businesses. And small businesses, they don't always want to get on the phone with someone and you know, pay a ton of money, right? They kind of just want to get started immediately, like the mom and pop, you know, massage shop. Mm-hmm. You know, they need something that's $99 a month because they don't have a ton of you know, profit and margins. You know, and so that's where we have that balance and for us, and that's where we were like, okay, you know, we also saw that if we're paying a lot on the marketing side to get someone in on the inbound funnel. Then we're looking at what's the profitability of having a sales team on top of that with SDRs and AEs. It wasn't pretty to see, but we saw that, hey, we're actually losing money on this.
Really?
You know, we're either breaking even or actually losing money. And so we had to make the hard decision of, okay, I have all these people hired, you know, these SDRs and these AEs, focus on an inbound model. Maybe inbound model isn't what works for our business right now. And that's where we had to, you know, make the decision, the hard decision of, you know, maybe we should instead do outbound. And I guess maybe it's a hard decision, it seems like now, but for now, if I could step back, I would have made that decision a long time ago.
Can you just unpack the comment you made that you said it wasn't profitable to do inbound? Obviously, what are we talking about here? Just all in...
For sure. So what we looked at was how much does it cost to get a lead in, right? From the very beginning, right? Like how much does it cost to run a Facebook ad, to get someone to sign up for a free account for Sumo, to then, to sign up for a free account, then install Sumo, and then also to talk to the sales team. I'm like skipping a bunch of steps. You know, to install Sumo, then we have this list. Then we have to have, we have a team of VAs, virtual assistants, that then look through that list and determine which ones are quality. That then goes to a team of SDRs, appointment setters, that then have to contact that company, set up a call with them. Okay, we're there. So then it has to go to an account executive that then has to run that call, has to close that customer, get paid a commission on it. So there's all of these parts of the funnel that we're paying for.
Yeah.
Right. And for the plans that we had at the time, and still, like I was saying, still a bit struggling with how do we have that balance, is we saw that, okay, we're bringing in, you know, a customer and it's worth whatever, 10,000 to us. We're actually paying out a little bit more than that throughout the whole funnel. So it's not something that's very sustainable. Sure, we're bringing in that customer now, but how can we do that at scale? I'd argue no.
Mm-hmm. You said $10,000. Was that the average, what an average customer is worth to you back then?
It was a bit lower. So I'd say like more around, it's like a quarter to a half of that. Okay. And that's fluctuated and it depends on the plan. But yeah, in the very, very early days, it was actually closer to, I would say, yeah, around like, you know, 3,000 to 5,000.
Gotcha. And you worked out that it was your rough cost on closing that with the, you know, all these pieces of your pipeline was $5,000-$6,000.
Yeah. Where it was basically, we're either breaking even or losing a bit. Gotcha. And then it fluctuated with the marketing costs and all these other things, but it, you know, it was a hard decision to, it was not a decision, but it was like, you know, a tough reality to face of, hey, this, you know, I have all these people hired. It looks like we're doing really, really well. And then you actually look at the math and you're like, hey, maybe this isn't going as well as we thought.
Mm-hmm. That must've been a hard reality to face because the, you know, I guess up until that point, the majority of your business had come from this inbound channel, and to realize that it's not as profitable as we thought, or not profitable at all in some circumstances. That must've been challenging.
Yeah. And it's a challenge, but it's also one of those like fun challenges to say, okay, well then how can we make this profitable? Right. What are the other avenues that we can go for? And one for us was outbound, but how can we, you know, make the inbound channel so profitable? So can we do webinars to upgrade them? Can we do something that's a little bit more at scale, right? Mm-hmm. Can marketing have amazing drip emails that engages with customers and says, hey, you're getting success, you should upgrade, right? So there's, you know, it's a tough reality to face, but there's a lot of ways, creative ways to solve that problem.
So would you say this tough reality is what sort of encourage, it sounds like this is what encouraged you to dip your toe into outbound in the first place.
That's exactly what, you know, actually even before that, we had dipped our toe into outbound before that. So this was, we really hit outbound hard at the beginning of this year, but we started messing around, dipping our toe in it early last year. And we just really hadn't seen any success. And I would say that we just weren't committed. We said, hey, you know, we're doing inbound, it's working really well. Maybe we should try outbound as like a little experiment, mm-hmm. and see if we get anything out of it. And the fact that we treated it as a little experiment without really thinking it through and really determining how would we make this successful, that's why we didn't see any success from it. And then we had the, you know, we like, I went through all the math, had this Google Doc that said, here are all the costs, here's what we're bringing in. Mm-hmm. And we had this very long meeting that was a tough meeting to have because it was like, okay, well, what do we do now?
Yeah.
Right. And then that's when we said, okay, instead of outbound being this little experiment, we at least have some results from it of what we're seeing, and what the costs are to get a lead and all that sort of stuff. So it looks promising. So then we ran through the math on the outbound side and said, let's stop treating this as a little experiment and let's go all in on it.
So when you say treating it like an experiment, can you walk me through what that looked like at Sumo? You know, what did the team look like? How much time, resources did you dedicate to it?
For sure. So we had around 7 to 8 people on the inbound side, splitting between SDRs and account executives. And then we said, okay, let's just have, instead of distracting the inbound team with outbound, which we think is this just very abstract, completely different thing, which now is, I would say, isn't that way. Mm-hmm. Let's just hire one person and they'll be strictly focused on outbound. So they can go and talk to any outbound company out there and they're going to be focused on reaching out to that lead, setting up the call, closing that customer, doing the customer success, some of it afterwards, basically mm-hmm. doing the full funnel.
Yeah.
And so, you know, thinking back on it now, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, but I would say you should, you know, never do that. I know that's something that Aaron talks about as well, is, you know, split the responsibilities, right? Yeah. Because the person has to specialize in responsibility. So that I would say that's why it didn't work. You know, Will was a great guy and worked his butt off to try and make it work. But it was one of those things where he had to do the full funnel. And if we would have just looked at, hey, how much time is it taking for the SDR portion versus the, you know, the call portion or the AE portion, mm-hmm. it's hard to balance all of that at the same time.
And what did, So you hired Will to do outbound. What did his support look like? Because, and I'll tell you why. I'm asking because I'm just sort of selfish.
For sure.
I hear a lot of people say, you know, I talked to a lot of people who say, oh, we tried outbound and it didn't work. And it's always the case if they're, you know, they hired one person and they said, okay, read this book, go. Right. And it wasn't, you know, let's say there was a sales manager or VP or a CEO that they were rolling up to. It probably represented like 1/16th of their time. And I've talked to numerous people that have said, you know what, outbound doesn't work because we ran this test and it just doesn't work. It's like, okay, well, within a test like that, there are so many variables that can go wrong. I'm just curious to learn, you know, what do you think worked well for you in that test? Because it sounds like you got some promising numbers and what went wrong for you? So specialization was one. What else?
For sure. So yeah, you know, I would say to that point of, you know, how many resources are you actually dedicating to that test? Or, you know, with Will, I worked really closely with him and him and I were trying to figure out, you know, what's going on in the funnel, right? Like there's all these different pieces. What's not working? What was working was that we were actually closing customers. So if he got on a call, he was closing around 30% of those calls that he was on, which for us was actually on par or similar to what we were seeing on the inbound side.
That's huge.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, you know, if we're closing a quarter, you know, a third of them, let's just get more calls, right? And then looking at his funnel, and he would, you know, close a customer and then he has to go back to the very beginning of the funnel and he has to prospect.
So and your numbers sort of look like a sine wave, you know?
Exactly.
You have a crappy month, great month.
That's exactly what it was. So it was like July, we're doing great. Outbound works, you know, Will's on track. August, not on track. Things aren't going well. Outbound doesn't work. And it was like, outbound works, outbound doesn't work.
September, Will's a hero again.
Exactly. And you know, it's obviously
we fired Will.
Incredibly rough for him, right? Because, yeah, you know, it's this up and down and he's working like crazy. And so, I would specifically say, so that part worked well. What didn't work well was we looked at it and said, hey, how long is it taking you to, if you found a company, how long is it taking you to, you know, find that prospect's information, find who you want to reach out to, the VP of marketing there, and their email and their phone number and how to contact them. And that was taking on average, I think around 15 minutes. And then I was like, okay, well, 15 minutes. Like 15 minutes times the amount of people that you have to get on a call and then close to be hitting quota, there's literally not enough time in the day for you to do that, if you weren't sleeping at all. And so that's, you know, when we were going through that math and seeing where are the bottlenecks, that was a big bottleneck. And then we said, we have a team of SDRs on the inbound side that specialize in this. They know exactly what to do. And it's not that you're not great at this, but you're doing 7 or 8 different tasks at once. And it's hard to split your time between all of those. Mm.
Okay, great. So the specialization sounds like that really hit home with, you've got something that's working, time to specialize.
Exactly.
Talk to me. So that was your little experiment. Talk to me about what you're doing now. Cause you obviously sounded like that wrapped up. Poor Will was tired of riding the sine wave of despair.
Yeah, totally. And so, you know, then we said, why are we, one, it's a specialization. And then, you know, why are we just having one person do everything, right? We have a team of SDRs that are amazing at setting up, you know, calls, appointments with prospective customers. And we have these AEs on the inbound side that are amazing at taking these calls. They do them all day long and they're closing customers like crazy. So we said, why don't we just, you know, split outbound amongst the inbound team and see how it goes for them, right? So, you know, let's have the SDRs do what Will was doing and set up those demos. Let's sit those demos and let's see how the inbound AEs can close them. And there was a lot of hesitation at first. There was a lot of like, Anton, outbound is so much harder. Are you kidding me? How are we ever going to do this? Right. And then it was a lot of me talking to the team and saying, I actually really don't think it's as hard as you guys have it in your head. Let's figure this out together. And it wasn't at all. I would honestly say that around a couple of weeks to a month-ish later, they were like, you were right, Anton. It's the same thing. And they also said, I love outbound customers because One, we're controlling who we're talking to. And mm-hmm. so on the inbound side, we were selling to, right now we specialize on for with e-commerce companies. Mm-hmm. But on the inbound side, we would talk to a mommy blogger. We would talk to a big media site that had all this traffic and wasn't doing anything that an e-commerce company was doing. And then we talked to the e-commerce companies and we saw a ton of success with the e-commerce companies. So on the inbound side, every single AE sales rep had a different pitch. They would get on a call and they would be like, how am I going to pitch this? And that makes it insanely hard for them, right? Because it's like a roller coaster all the time. And so we said, how can we make this repeatable? And well, even before then, but that's when they were really excited about Outbound, because they said, wow, we're getting all these customers that I can close easily and that I love to talk to. And that not most importantly, that Sumo can show a lot of ROI from them. Mm-hmm.
I love the piece on being able to choose your own customers. I think that's one of my favorite pieces. With a smaller deal, like your deal sizes with Outbound, we're talking 5 to 10K roughly?
Yep. A bit lower than that. And that's something that we're working on now, but around there.
Okay. I'm a big fan. I just wanted to throw that in as sort of a caveat, because these are probably, how many on average, is this like a 1 to 2 call close? Like you have that first call. Are they closing on the first call, second call?
Yeah, it's quite quick. So we really aim for first call close. We even track that. Like what percentage of deals are you closing on the first call? We've even seen success, honestly, lately with closing before the call. So we'll get them to pay and sign up. And then the call is just setting it up. And so, with that velocity, we can go quickly. You know, we can work with lots of different companies. And
Bunch of Jedis over there. Jesus.
Exactly. just hacking. We're just hacking credit cards. That's what we're doing. I'm kidding.
Cool. I just want to point out the relevancy of the deal size in the sales cycle to anybody with a larger deal size who's, 20K to 100, 150K or even larger, that the outbound calls, they're generally not all going to be as easy as maybe what Sumo's doing, because when you get into those larger deals, they're more complex. It's harder to find, connect with that buyer. So we do find that they tend to take longer on average. Obviously, there's going to be outliers on both sides. I've worked with companies that have $150,000 deals that they close in 3 months, and I'm like, Scooby-Doo face, how are you doing that?
Absolutely. I have a good buddy, Tommy, and he's selling very large contracts to help companies give their employees ways of teaching themselves and learning about SEO and different things to progress in their career. Mm-hmm. And he's selling to bigger companies with much larger contracts. And so I've been talking to him, and he's like, you're doing it in 2 weeks, at Sumo, or in a week on the first call. What am I doing wrong? And the reality of the situation is maybe you're not doing something wrong. It's legitimate that you have to, there's a lot of decision makers in a bigger company with a bigger contract size, right? But I would also, I still had the with Tommy, him and I went back and forth, and I still was like, how can we make it, in a week? How can we do it on the first call? Let's try and think outside of the box. Let's not make it like an excuse of, well, it's a bigger contract size, it's going to take 2 years. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you got to be, the reality of the situation is what it is, and it'll take longer. But also I would push everyone to think, how can we possibly close in a week? Is there anything that we could do that would make that happen? Mm-hmm.
I'd love to be able to close a $150,000 deal in a week.
Absolutely. I think we all would.
Yeah. I think you get those superpowers. You're heavily underpaid, no matter what.
Definitely.
Yeah. So we got a little distracted talking about deal size and quickly closing. So let's talk about what you're doing. What are you guys doing differently compared to just the test? You've got, so you're more specialized, it sounds like account execs that have inbound and outbound deals. Is that true?
Yep, that is true. It's majority on the outbound side, but there are some inbound as well.
Gotcha. And you see inbound, outbound sort of about the same close rates.
Yes, so we as we were thinking about outbound, and we were projecting that, call to close is going to be lower, the lead to a call, lead to demo is going to be lower. And so we were very conservative. We said, usually on the inbound side, we were seeing around a 40% call to close rate. And so we actually said, hey, with outbound, man, outbound is going to be so hard. Let's just say it's going to be 20. Mm-hmm. We're actually hitting around 30 to 35. And I actually very much think that that can be even improved and be hitting 40 to 50. And right. So, you know, it's still just this mentality of, you know, outbound so much harder. You know, I strongly now think it's if you can legitimately provide value to who you're talking about, if it's on the inbound side or the outbound side, mm-hmm. and you can show them ROI and you can see why it makes sense to work together, what's the difference in inbound versus outbound, right? One may know you because you came to your site first, but if you can legitimately provide value and it makes sense to work together, then you should work together.
I agree. I think with the larger deal sizes, the variable that matters is sometimes timing, especially when you get into you know, six-figure deals. We're talking about budgets and sign-offs and moving that sort of cash around. But
totally, and it depends on the technology that's currently in place, and are we replacing it? Right? You know, that's the other pro for us is that we're not replacing a technology, mm-hmm. so timing doesn't matter. Like, the contract doesn't have to end. We're on top of their current technology,
and that's the way to do it. For sure. So let's talk about the numbers. Can you share some of the numbers your outbound team's hitting currently?
Yeah, absolutely. So we now bring in around 50% of total on the outbound side, 50% of total revenue, new recurring revenue from the company as a whole.
Woo!
Yes. Let's get to 100.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's super, super exciting. You know, starting the sales team a little more than 2 years ago, as I said, we bring in zero. There's no one doing it. And so with the inbound, we were bringing in around 20 to 30% of total. And now just strictly focus on outbound. It's, you know, 40, 50% of total new recurring revenue.
Wow. And so let's walk through the metrics for the individual teams. Like, if we break it down, what does the top of the funnel look like? What does the bottom of the funnel look like?
Absolutely. So for us, right now, we spend a lot of time talking about pricing, you know, and deal size, because it is very important. It's something that's super for us, because our deal size is low right now. We have a lot of volume and we have too much volume. We have so much volume that we're at the point where we could potentially, first world problems, but
yeah,
is that we could potentially run out of customers to close and to talk to. And so, in terms of, you know, for the SDR and the AE side, we on the SDR side, their quota is around 75 to 100 calls set up and sat a month.
Wow.
So yeah, there's a lot. They got to be doing a couple a day, and those are all outbound.
And how many dials do you think they need to make a day in order to hit that?
They don't do any dialing. So currently it's all automated through email.
Okay.
So that's something that we've been thinking about, and potentially what if, you know, we could automate the dialing part and maybe get higher, you know, lead to call, right? Mm-hmm. By cold calling. But right now it's just all done through email. Okay. And then
what is the lead to call booked rate on that?
It's around 3 to 5%.
Wow. That's pretty nice.
And that's something that we've had to optimize a lot. And it really, it can depend on the lead list that we're working with, right? Mm-hmm. So we may reach out to all these customers, these potential customers, and we get 0.1% of people that respond to us. We've mainly seen that they are not a fit for Sumo. Mm-hmm. And so that's one thing that we've worked a lot over the 2 years on. And that's something that I geek out on is, How can we reach out and really get their attention? There's so much noise on the outbound world. So it's we've sat down so many times in so many workshops, and how do we really stand out? And so that's why I know we've been able to get to a 3 to 5%, and I'm quite happy with access around industry standards of the lead to call rate.
Perfect. So 3 to 5% lead to call. And then is that, so your SDRs are your SDRs taking the first call, or are they just booking the first call?
They're just booking the first call straight to the AE. Yep.
Perfect. Okay. So 3 to 5% on that. And then what about, what did you say your close rate was on these calls? About 30%?
30 to 35, just on outbound.
Right on. Cool. How big is the team now?
The team is 10 people. So we have three SDRs, one sales op, and then the rest are AEs.
Right on. And I guess what's the like, it sounds like you've got the system. You spend a lot of time dialing it in. Nothing's ever perfect, especially for, you know, those of us that like to keep pushing.
Totally. So
what are some of the challenges that you're struggling with now? What, you know, what haven't you figured out yet?
Yeah. So the, you know, I'll go back to, just because we already spent some time talking about it, is really on the deal size. And for us, that struggle there is self-serve versus, you know, a sales team model. And so in the past, we would just, you know, like we mentioned, right now you can go on sumo.com, you can set up Sumo for free, you can start using it, and then you can actually purchase on your own. And that's a very attractive model, right? You and I have talked about, you know, with Slack when they first started, Stuart Butterfield I remember very clearly him saying, I don't want salespeople. They have salespeople now. Mm-hmm. But he was more saying, you know, I think it's faster that we can grow through word of mouth and through virality. And so it's looking at that and you say, oh, well, I want to be like Slack. We should just do that. So that's part of it. I also mentioned earlier, you know, with small businesses, we want them to be able to sign up on their own, right? They're not all going to want to get on a call. But you know, we're seeing the success on the sales side, on the outbound side, right? We're reaching out to customers that don't know anything about Sumo. And then, you know, within a week or two, they're set up with it and they're making money with it, which is insanely exciting to see. And it's brands that I love, like Hint. I'm drinking their water right now. So it's, how do we balance that, right? Mm-hmm. How do we make it so that we can have a price point, a model where a small business can sign up on their own, while at the same time, we have this outbound model that is reaching out to maybe a little bit larger of companies, but that we can charge a bit more. And for us, that's really just determining what additionally can we provide in the service, in the product, that makes it so that they would want to pay at a $10,000 a year, $15,000, $20,000 a year. And we're not trying to get to the point where we're selling to Coca-Cola, but yeah, I would say that's our struggle right now.
That's fair. It's always a challenge where, like we talked about earlier, you know, where do you put these gates? How do you define, you know, what that, you know, what the free product, you know, should be, what the small, medium business product should be, and what the enterprise product is, you know, that we're going to sell, or whatever you want to call it, to, exactly, you know, these mid-sized businesses that our inbound outbound team is going to, you know, close hand to hand. Cause if you set that too low, you know, you run into the problem that you guys hit before, where it's not profitable for us to have these salespeople to do inbound or outbound.
Yep.
It's a fun challenge that you have. And I think the scope of the pricing conversation is probably maybe a little bit outside this podcast, but you know, if there's anybody, you know, on the call or listening on the podcast that has experience with pricing, Anton, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Anton@sumo.com. Fix everything. Fix my problems for me.
any last piece of advice for anybody that's, you know, either testing outbound as a channel or thinking about testing outbound as a channel?
I think the biggest thing is, you know, learn from our mistakes and don't be so afraid and don't think that outbound is so different. It really isn't. And the things that really excite me about outbound are, you know, like we've mentioned, we can work with the customers that we want to. You know, the biggest thing even before that to me is that the sky's the limit. Like there's so many, there's 30, 50 million small businesses out there that should be using Sumo. I want all of them to be using Sumo. Right. Mm-hmm. If I'm just sitting there as a VP of sales, mm-hmm. You know, if before we were just relying on the inbound side. So, you know, I was a bit like, well, how, you know, what can I do? It's like, I have my hands tied, right? Mm-hmm. Am I just going to sit down with the VP of marketing and just yell at him and just say, I need more leads. I need more leads. I need more leads.
And I want the good ones too. Give me only the ones that are going to close.
Exactly. Right. give me the e-commerce company with this amount of employees. And he's like, well, how am I going to do this? How am I going to make this, you know, bring these in through ads or through content or whatever it is. And so, you know, that's really where I was like, how can we, you know, how can I take things into control in my own hands? Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about it now is that we control the full funnel. And, you know, we're, you know, can manifest our own destiny. If we want to bring in, you know, however much in recurring revenue, how can we make that happen? And so really, you know, we had this stigma of outbound is so much harder, and it's not. And I'm not saying if inbound is working really well, continue it. And we still do it as well, right? We're not saying that inbound is, you know, It depends, I think, on the business structure. I was able to get out of that mindset that outbound is so hard. I was able to get my team out of that mindset. And now, you know, it's like I said, you know, we're bringing in 50% of total company revenue just on outbound. And we're still figuring out a lot of things, which I see will make it even more scalable and more repeatable.
It sounds really exciting. And I think we'll have to have you back on the show, you know, in a year to check in on and see what are the changes that you've made to help get it there.
Hopefully I'm not living on the streets of San Francisco in a box.
There you go. Yeah. No grass in that city. It'd be hard to live out on the streets. You're literally on the streets everywhere you
go. Cold sidewalk. Yeah.
So we've got one last sort of surprise segment that we've started doing lately. It's called Cold Call Me. So it's optional. But if you want to get a pitch in for Sumo, you can cold call. We can role play a cold call. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right. So you do the ring, ring. I'll answer and go.
Okay. Ring, ring.
Hello. This is Colin.
Hey, Colin. It's Anton from Sumo. Do you, by any chance, do you run an e-commerce company? Do you sell anything online?
Yeah, we sell lots of stuff online.
What do you guys sell online?
Specialty lingerie for dogs.
Specialty lingerie for dogs. Mm. Wow. I don't have a dog, but...
Very niche business.
Very niche, but people love their dogs, and I'm sure they'll spend a lot of money on it. Mm-hmm. Great. So, you know, what if I told you, you know, that they're looking at the site right now? Or actually, what's the URL of the site called?
It's frillydoggies.com.biz.gov/awesome.
Got it. Well, you know, I don't know if I'll be able to type in all of that just right now. But, you know, looking at the site, you know, what I'd love to do is, you know, I'm not just here to sell you something, but I'd love to check out your site and see how you guys are doing. You know, what we do really, really well at is we work with tons of e-commerce companies like Hint, This Water, Bulletproof Coffee, and a bunch of others, and we help them make more money off their site. Because I guarantee there's ways that you're losing customers, and you're not getting as many dogs and lingerie. So let's get more dogs and lingerie. So let's do this, Colin. I'm gonna look at your site, and we can set up another call. And I can hopefully, if you guys are doing everything great, then maybe we don't need to talk. But if there's a couple ways that I think that you guys can improve conversions and sell more lingerie, then we should chat. How does that sound?
It sounds great.
Awesome.
Cool. Thanks for coming on the show today, Anton. This has been fun.
Awesome. Thanks a ton, Colin. Appreciate it.
All right, man. See ya.
Bye.